Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, for this edition of the Hagman Report. Our guests this evening are Pastor David Langford from The Voice of Evangelism and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. We have completed 1 hour of the interview so far, and we've gotten into some fantastic and important topics and information in the title of tonight. We will not be terrorized. We are on the heels of the beginning of Ramadan, and we talked about in the first hour with Randall Terry and in the first half hour of the calls for, you know, the ISIS calls for, you know, attacks on the West. Obviously, this is nothing new. Also, Homeland Secretary John Kelly saying, if you knew what I knew about the terrorist threats, you would never leave your house. And we are also on the eve of the Memorial Day weekend, where we celebrate and remember the soldiers who fought and died in battle and their families to continue to, for this country to continue to be able to live under freedom. Steve, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, I think, you know, Memorial Day, this is a great time to reflect. Even God ordained that the children of Israel, when they left the Egyptian, if you will, strangle and stronghold, every man of God that ever was touched, they wanted something in their life to refer back to, whether it was at Bethel, whether it was at the crossing of the Red Sea, whether it was where someone had a visitation, Jacob and Jacob's ladder, whether it was King David, the Ark of the Covenant, the literal presence of God, you know, in the Old Testament, they had a place that they could go back to. What Pastor Langford was trying to share is this. You can be self-appointed, but self-appointing isn't the anointing. You can be self-declarative, but declaring yourself to be this, that, or the other thing doesn't mean God's put his hand on it. And I think, again, probably the most profound thing, Doug, that I've ever said on your show, and I mean this, okay? And again, Joe and David, because we're all on this together, along with however many hundreds of thousands of people that will hear this, is that there's so many people that claim they know Jesus, but my answer is, why, if you claim to know Jesus, are you so almost hushed to speak his name? You know, and the other thing that's astonishing to me is the righteous are as bold as lions. And man, you know my statement on that, Pastor. We don't hear the church triumphant. I'm talking about God, the King of Glory's manifestation upon the earth of those who are called together in the name of Jesus, roaring. I mean, they can barely muster a whimper. Now, there are exceptions, but the exceptions are far and few between. I can't tell you this, that this battle, whether it's, you know, we've got in Christendom those who hate Donald Trump, those who know that God's got his hand on him for a purpose. It's not that he's a moral thing, but you know what, David's interesting to me? I'm flabbergasted that he's saying enough persecution against Christians. He's standing down the enemies of Christendom. He's speaking out against the butchery, the debauchery, the blood, the gore, the guts, the senseless slaughter. And we got people that you and I both know that are just saying that you and I are deceived and we're leading God's flock. And I asked Henry about this. And by the way, I want to make this clear. Henry Gruber will be at our conference in Branson. It was by, I would say this, divine appointment. He wasn't going to be there. He's going to be out of country. But an overwhelming, I guess you'd say, impression to have Henry and David there. David's on Sunday, Pastor David Langford's on Sunday morning in Branson, and Henry will be preceding me, and I kind of get the last word before Sunday, but I see the wisdom of God in this, David, because again, when people see only with natural eyes and they continue to bash, and I understand, but they don't see the bigger picture. I think, honestly, I think more people that claiming to be this or that or the other thing in ministry would actually be happier if they had a nuclear glow. And I have been repeating something you said on Hagman's show maybe a year ago, maybe longer than that, but you don't have to go looking for trouble. It's coming looking for us. And every day there's more and more conflict with China, more conflict with North Korea. More, and I even got a guy saying to me, well, you don't know the scripture because there's wars and rumors of wars. Yeah, well, you forgot. The rumors of wars follow the wars. And so I am, as we're on tonight, what is the date today? What is it, 26?
26.
The 26th of May. And we have so much going on in the natural world. It's all designed to show you, you are in need of a savior, brothers and sisters. I can't save myself. I can't even take credit for being in control of my tongue. And the Bible says the tongue can no man tame. And I'm saying, Lord, help me. Because here's the thing. When those of you that have never been in the battle finally find out what it's like to be in the battle, your cliches, your pats on the back won't be anything to you because they don't affect the change. Now, put that in context. Those of you who have interceded for Pastor Langford, for Doug and Joe, myself, God bless you. You hold back. And again, you know, I mean, and this is sad, but it's true. It's because of God's goodness, His calling, His mercy, and His intervention in all four of our lives that we're on. I mean, Doug is raising up his son Joe to, you know, I guess you'd say, step in at the time that it's necessary. Pastor Langford, you've got a whole bunch of people around the world that love you dearly. You know, it may not be the people that email you and I, but there are people all over the world. I've been told this, Doug, and you need to hear this. I'm told in South Africa, people get together and use these times when Pastor and I are on or other men of God are on talking about Jesus. This is the only input they get. This is the only anointed preaching they get. This is the only scriptures that are shared with them. And they can sense the power because God Himself, He is the ultimate fountain of life. And when you're dry and you're thirsty and you say and you're crying out to the God of heaven, Lord, is there any reality? And then God touches or anoints a show or a program. Look, it's not the vessel, it's what goes in the vessel. And what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who pray and intercede, you don't understand the reward that comes to you as intercessors as we're able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, as we're able to encourage. And the word encourage is real tough to understand. It means literally place courage in. And so when God's people are encouraged, they can go forth. But you cannot expect the sheep of the Lord's pasture, the real ones, to get a good anointing from the salivating wolves that are in sheep's clothing. And listen, God is going to arise. He is arising. But I'm saying to the degree when God says enough. And I don't know where that point is. I've been trying to get him to tell me for years. Guess what? He hasn't. But when he says enough, then you're going to see the difference between all the power and work of the flesh, all the religious, all go by the wayside, is the hand of the living God goes forth to redeem his people, the power of the Holy Spirit goes forth to fill his people, and the purpose, the direction, and the anointing and the knowledge that you're a child of King will rise up inside you, and then that scripture will come into full force and full fury that, you know, if God be for you, who can be against you? And that's what we're trying to tell everyone tonight. Go ahead, David.
You know, since Ronald Reagan, we have seen more positive talk about God and Christianity since Ronald Reagan. So we're looking at 30 to 35 years. You know, even Trump, which is not going to make a difference, but he, you know, introduced or signed an executive order about the Johnson Amendment that they would not, you know, 501c3s would not lose their status if they begin to talk about politicians and politics. But you'll still not hear people, preachers, preach against sin or promoting righteousness or speak out against abortion because they're already sold out. I respect what Donald Trump did. I think that's great for those who maybe had fear and angst and would not preach the truth. But you see, you know, there are those out there that's not going to change because that never was in their heart to preach that way. And so I believe God has ordained Donald Trump to be the president of these United States. He may lead us into a third world war, and I would not be one bit surprised at all if he's not been chosen for that purpose, just like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, if you go back and read the 21st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah prophesies that God, because of Zedekiah's rebellion, he said, because of your rebellion, and you would not submit to this takeover from Nebuchadnezzar, from Babylon, he said, I'm going to deliver the king Zedekiah of Judah and his servants and the people that are left in the city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies and into those that seek their lives. Zedekiah was physically captured by Nebuchadnezzar. The last thing he saw was his two sons killed right in front of his eyes, and then Nebuchadnezzar bored out his eyes, shackled him with chains, and he died in prison, just like God said he was going to do. Why? Because he had a stiff neck and a hard heart. This is God. You see, God knows the end from the beginning, and he said this is how it's going to be. Now, because of Zedekiah's unwillingness to submit and surrender, but he was stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and callous, he would submit to Nebuchadnezzar. He never had to die. He never had to be blinded. But because he wouldn't do what he was told to do. And so God intentionally, he says, I'm going to willfully save some of you from in this city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine. So he saved them for the purpose of exiling them to Babylon. God is in control of everything. You know, we all get discouraged at times. We all at times feel like quitting. We feel like giving up. The last 3 weeks seemed like I just had one problem, one measure of adversity, one negative attack from people that's supposed to be godly people. Just one attack after another, just day after day after every day, something from someone. You know, and Steve said, encourage, you know, fill yourself up with encouragement. But the reality is, no matter who you are, what you are, we all have the innate ability to get discouraged and get down and want to quit. It happened to Jeremiah. You know, he said, Lord, you deceived me. You didn't tell me how hard this was going to be. I thought this was going to be a cakewalk. But I mean, everybody hates me. Everybody loathes me. Everybody's prophesying the exact opposite of what I'm doing. And, you know, I know you came to me and you touched me, my lips. You called me, you ordained me from my mother's womb. Before I was even born, you knew me. And then Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of his name nor speak any more about him, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I was weary with trying to hold my peace. I was weary with trying to be, you know, long-suffering. I was tired of it. Why? Because his word was burning in his heart. And so you know what he went back to doing? He went back to preaching. He went back to proclaiming. He went back to crying aloud. He went back to telling the people what's coming. Yes, the message is not popular. Look at the radio preachers and the TV preachers and look at what they're saying. Ask yourself, are they giving any types of warnings? Are they saying anything that you could deem as being negative preaching? Or is it all about feel good and prosperity and, you know, having all these untold blessings? You see, serving God is very simple. You serve him, you love him, you honor him. He said, I'll bless you. You know, you don't have to do all this junk these guys teach on television. You know, God wants to challenge your faith. And that's why you have to give $1,000 gift. That challenges you more than $100 gift. That's just for deception and duplicity. That's the reel people in, and they're the ones making all the money, and the people are being shook down. You know, it's just nothing but a huckster. They're shaking the people down. But then, how many do you see preaching warnings and preaching repentance and telling the people you need to be wary? This is a very dangerous hour. Paul, it wasn't by happenstance, in 2 Timothy 3:1 said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come." Look how tenuous and how dangerous the world is right now. The arms deal with Saudi Arabia. And Steve, you brought up a valid point. The more these ladies, and I'm not lambasting and I'll be called a male chauvinist pig, but the more these ladies that become prime ministers of these countries and nations, you're going to see more and more collapse, more and more weakness, more feminization, and the church is becoming feminized. And praise God, I'm just about to get my book published. It took me almost 8 months now. The devil's fought me every which way you can, because I'm telling people the church is the body of Christ, which is masculine. The harlot church in Revelation 17, she's the mother of harlots. She's feminine. She's a whore. And you got all these little Protestant daughters running around here compromising and trying to reconcile with the Catholic Church. You can't do that. You got to come out among them and be separate. You can't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And they're teaching, no, we gotta come together. You cannot come together for the sake of unity. You don't have unity. You have uniformity. But you don't have unity. This only by the Spirit of God can you have unity. Oh yeah, they want us all to lay aside our differences in doctrine or convictions, and let's just come together. That's why Donald Trump is having such a hard time. He's a cog in the wheel, in every sense of the word. And you'll see, there's nothing to any of this fake news. There's nothing to any of this stuff. They're nothing but spiritual distractions. Christians are questioning their own faith. Well, you know, I heard Pastor Lankford say this, but, you know, I heard him say this about that. But this other guy over here, he's saying this. What you're going to hear is going to be the exact opposite of what I'm saying. I want to tell you, sin is damnable. Sin will separate you from God. And when Steve, you brought up about Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What is Paul talking about? He tells us, against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the air, the rulers of the darkness of this world. These are demonic entities, powers and spirits and fallen angels that are disrupting the world, and the leaders of our world have given themselves to those spirits. Amen. So you're not fighting Merkel. You're not fighting Trump. You're not fighting that flesh and blood. You're fighting the spirit. You're fighting the spirit that's controlling that person. And look how much they went along with Obama and Islam and wiretapping and all those chicanery. And now you got a man that comes in there who says, "I'm here for the people," and look how they lambast him. The devil goes for nothing but the truth. If somebody's telling you the truth, he's going to try to slander it, as Steve said so well some time ago. That's why God hates slander, because Satan, Lucifer, slandered his son Jesus Christ and led a rebellion against his son, and that one-third of the angels fell with him. And so what you have is a slanderous crescendo against anything that has to do with Christianity. I read today about an eighth grader who couldn't do his little speech at school because he had God in his little speech. So after the assembly, the neighbor across the street from the school said, "You can have my front porch to stand here and make your speech straight across from the school." So see, they're anti-God. They're anti-Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So the neighbor gave the eighth grader his porch, and the crowd came across from the school to hear what the kid had to say. So that gave me hope that there's God's getting ready to raise up some young people that says, "Hey, I'm tired of this too. I'm tired of this wickedness. I'm tired of this sin." They want something better. Kids aren't stupid. And you got those that are going to follow your Katy Perry's and that other blonde buffoon, whoever she is, I forget her name now. But they're going to follow those because those are sensual. They're demon-possessed, and they're following that seducing spirit that brings them and lures them into that. But then there are those out there, even though they're young, their heart is toward God. The problem is, They can't find a church that they need. That young man in New Jersey, Alexander, he said, I have visited 25 churches. I've yet to find one who even comes close to preaching like you preach. 25! 25 churches. You know why? They're all compromised. Listen, you cannot get in a closet and get along with God and bury your face in the Word of God and not come out on fire with God and for God. It's just that simple. You know, Jeremiah said his word was like fire burning. It was shut up in my bones. I couldn't quit. I couldn't forbear no more. I had to start preaching again. That's what happens. So that tells you about ministers and ministries. You know, I look at all of this stuff and the jokes and the clowning around, and you have 20, 30,000 people sitting in these auditoriums. Nothing is said about repentance. Nothing is said about sin. Nothing is said about heaven or hell. Nothing. You know? It's just, well, you know, God can do anything. I know that God can do anything. You think I'm stupid? Oh, God loves you. You think I don't know that God loved my God? To love me took an act of God. Tell me what it's going to take to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tell me that. Tell me, dig me up. Turn up the stumps in my life, the hidden secret sins. Preach. And that's the thing about anointed preaching. God will take anointed preaching, and you can make one statement, and God will dissect that statement in 50 ways, and it speaks to 50 different people about the 50 different needs in each individual life. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And, you know, Steve, you and I know there are people with anticipation like you've never seen before at this meeting in Branson. I'm looking for God to show up in the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost and something unbelievable, something unfathomable to happen. Why? Because God says, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There are people praying. There are people fasting. I got an email from a young couple out of Texas. Got their parents coming. The kid that called me from New Jersey, he's coming. I mean, people want something. And they're going to the carnival cotton candy trailer, and they're not getting anything. And they're tired of it. People want something, you know, like a steak, man. You know, I like peanut butter crackers. But, you know, they're only good for so long. I want a good steak and a baked potato and a good salad and a big old chunk of bread, you know, because, you know, peanut butter crackers are good when you don't have anything, but there's more, and I know there's more because I've had it. And I say that spiritually. I say that spiritually. There is more. I want more. You know? And see, when you've had that drink of that fountain of life, nothing else ever satisfies you. That's why people today that are spiritual, they're starving to death. They are spiritually emaciated. They're saying, somebody feed me. Feed me. Look at me spiritually. But they're not looking at them through spiritual eyes. They're not looking at the people through the eyes of God. They don't care. They don't care whether you live or die and go to hell. It doesn't matter to them. Just buy another book. Send another $1,000 seed offering. Buy this, buy that. You know, I mean, just hucksters selling. Hey, it takes money to run the Hagman Show. It takes money to run the Voice of Evangelism. It takes money what Steve does. It takes money for those DVDs and stuff. We know that. But is that our emphasis? No. Our emphasis is on one person, Jesus the Lord Christ. And that's why this program, the Hagman, is different. It's different in a lot of ways. But what makes it different than most of them is they're not ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is their Lord and their Savior and their Redeemer. And by recognizing that, they give honor to God by letting us come on and talk like this. That's how they're giving honor to God. There's many ways to honor God. But they honor God. They're saying, God, we know who put us here. And we're going to honor you and give you place, God. You know, God's not greedy, but at least recognize him and be mindful of him, because we are what we are, as Paul said, by the grace of God. Every one of us, everyone listening tonight, if you're a millionaire or you're living, and I got a man that is homeless, and I can never thank him. He'll send a gift. I can't thank him because he's homeless. But God is mindful of you, and God loves you, and God cares about you. And you're never but a whisper away from God's touch. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Paul said, shall be saved. Whoever, you don't have to be somebody great. You don't have to have a lot of money or no money. God doesn't look at that. God is concerned about a man's heart, a man's spirit. Because like I said, every time, when someone dies, my first thought is, where did they go? You know, where did they go? Especially if I don't know them, or I know they lived a rancus or whatever lifestyle that was raunchy and randy. My concern, where did they go? Because as I said the other day, everlasting punishment. That means forever. From the presence of God and the power of His glory, Paul said. Everlasting punishment. That's without end. Perpetual. On and on and on. And so that's why it's important, folks, to get fed and to support those who are giving this platform and helping us to spread the truth without compromise. That, to me, is where it is. Steve, I'm going to give it back to you, brother.
Well, thank you, David. One of the things that is really impressing on my spirit, and this is something I think that we got to deal with tonight, Doug. Here's Donald Trump's statement. The bloodletting of Christians must end. Trump says civilization is at a precipice after thuggish terrorists killed 28 people by opening fire on Egyptian cops on their way, Coptic Christians on their way to pray. By the way, I've known some Coptic Christians, and let me tell you something. They had a commitment and an honoring of God second to none that I've ever met. I mean, I'm telling you point blank. When did that genetically altered, demonically possessed entity make any statement about the Christians that were being slaughtered as literally hundreds of thousands of people came into this country with every form of disease identified in Deuteronomy 28? Where was any of those spineless jellyfish in Congress or Senate, with a few exceptions, crying out about the slaughter of Christians? Let me share this with you. In case you haven't figured it out yet, pretty much every ruler of the world is already compromised. Every ruler of the world, if there are heads of countries, they already have been given over to the dark side. I once saw a picture of Angela Merkel, and she was at a funeral, and they had some kind of weird, this is in like, they look like judges' robes, but they had hoods on them, and I could never find it. I believe it was probably scrubbed from the web. If any of you have LexisNexis, I would love to have that picture. You know what I saw on their face, Pastor David, Doug, and Joe? I saw the sheer terror of them knowing the decision they've made for eternity. When you hear that this Hollywood star and that Hollywood star, and I'll tell you what, I believe they're genuinely Hollywood stars, they're fallen stars. The word in Hebrew and in Greek for star can be messenger, but they're fallen. And notice they all aggregate in pretty much Hollywood. Look, this is not by design. God knows how to deliver His people, but the Scripture says He also knows how to prepare the day of the wicked, or what's the Scripture I'm going for? I'm sorry. You know, that He knows how to preserve the day of the wicked unto judgment.
Judgment, that's it.
Yep. And so the thing is that you're seeing the congregation. When you have Burning Man, nothing more than that's just a druid worship, the spirit of the druids. And here's why the stuff that is so perplexing to me. Do these hyenas and jackals that say that, you know, Donald Trump is this. Look, I am not claiming anything for Donald Trump except that, number one, is salvation, but he was raised up by God for a purpose. The Bible says God sets the basis of men, and God can use men whether they know it or not. But you all better thank God, especially you hyenas, who are saying you've never spoken up. And I know this. I know that, quote, some of the, quote, prophetic ministries out there, they'd be hard-pressed to put three scriptures in their diatribe. Some of the critics that David has, I have, Doug and Joe have, they'd be hard-pressed to, you know, ever name the name of Jesus. Go count their words. The bloodletting of Christians must end, Trump says. Civilization is at a precipice after thuggish terrorists killed 28 people. If God had not held back, and I want to go on record, I believe with all my heart, Doug, and was it last year or 2 years ago, David, when we called for, was it 7 weeks, and forgive me, 6 or 7 weeks that we praised the Lord and we repented on this show, and somebody said, but that was just all for show.
That was like 3 years.
3 years. Wow.
Nine. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. And did we, do you know how many weeks that lasted?
Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong.
5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Six.
But I believe, and you know, and someone says, you shouldn't pay attention to your critics. The critics are what has neutered you all. The critics are those who cease to shut us up. The critics are those who bear false witness and accusations. The critics are those who absolutely have nothing redemptive. And I want to put them on the spot right now. You guys know who I'm talking about. How many people have you ever led to Jesus Christ? Because the wise lead people to Jesus. The scripture says you'll be like the stars that shine in the heavens. How many mouths have you fed? Well, I know that you basically can't get the bitterness of gall under your tongue. And see, I'll tell you what, I don't care. I'm taking the gloves off. It is time you stand up. You know, we had some Marine Corps, God bless you guys. You know, we had Jamie and Jeremiah and the other people I don't even know that basically went into, Afghanistan and went into the area where the Kurds were going to be wiped out. And maybe it was Iraq, forgive me. And the thing is that these brothers loved Jesus. They were sitting there with bandages and doing everything they could. Our government, watch your tongue, Steve, messed them up and took all the medical supplies and everything, yet God supplied. And because a couple of brave men and a couple of, forgive me, women also, really brave women, actually, it was surprising how few of men and how many women, but these guys went in and did a difference. And then when we had Whitestone in Bozeman, we prayed, and there was going to be 45,000 women and children wiped out, and God intervened. God intervened. So, you know, I just want to say this, Doug. I'm tired of the hyenas and jackals. Someone says, that's not kind. You're a nasty man. I'll tell you what isn't kind. Sitting there and on your sniping, and you never speak about the blood of the innocents. You could care less about all these beautiful aborted little people that will never have a shot at life in this world. You could care less about the baby parts sellers. You could care less about the drinks that you probably drink, and you have no clue of what's in it, especially when it comes to artificial flavors and sweeteners. You could care less. So those of you who could care less, how do I say this tastefully? Let your lips
bite
be
me.
Sealed. Let your tongues cleave to the roof of your mouth, and let you be dumb until you get it enough to speak it out and stand up for Jesus, if you're a Christian. Otherwise, obviously, there's no admonition. You'll roll your tongue, your snares, your accusations, your traps, your indignation, and everything else. But it isn't going to save you. And that's
Steve,
what I think, you know, it's they got to get it together.
Yeah, you know, I'm so frustrated, and you're exactly right, because I got an email again pointing out, this is 2 days ago, pointing out, yesterday, pointing out that the Center for Medical Progress, that the very people, that uncovered the abortion mill, the murderous mill, are being held for contempt because of they've released another videotape or another video about the horrific nature of what's taking place, and the very people who have assaulted you and I by going after our sponsors, for example, my sponsors, who are going writing these horrific blog posts about you, about me, about us. I've got to tell you, they don't give a damn, and I'm sorry about the well, I'm not sorry about how I'm saying this. They don't care about the aborted fetuses. You're right. They care about saying, well, you know what? You can't be a Christian, Steve. You can't be a Christian, Doug or Joe, if you side with those people who are uncovering this, because Christians don't, for example, behave in that manner. Christians don't go undercover. Well, I beg your pardon. I've done it for 30 years. And you've got, so the, and again, maybe I'm, and if, you know what, Steve, if I'm overstepping my bounds here, I apologize, but I'll tell you something. I'm so tired of it.
No, you're not. You're tame. By the way, God's using you to simmer me down. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, the Christians who are the self-policing among us, who are the prosecutors of us, and it's about time we say this, who have cost us individually. $40,000 a piece. That's out of our pocket to defend against baseless, meritless claims. $40,000. And who have taken us to the cleaners, and who have attempted to bankrupt us, and who have contacted our sponsor, and to tell them to stop funding us, and who have hurt us, and continue to hurt us, and threaten our families, threaten our friends, threaten our business relationships. You've got no idea. And these are self-appointed, self-proclaimed Christians. And I'm tired of the people hiding behind the banner of Christianity and thinking that this will absolve them.
It won't.
I'm done.
You know, yeah, Paul said they are enemies of the cross and whose God is their belly. These people are enemies of the true cross of Jesus Christ, because the true cross of Christ is about one thing: winning souls. And Steve says it all the time. How many souls have you won to Jesus? If you're not touching people's lives and people's lives are not being touched, you're worthless. You're worthless. And Doug, that's why they attack. See, here's the thing. I don't care if it's a white man, a black man, if it's a police officer, if it's a military soldier, I'm going to side with truth. Because who is the personification of truth? Jesus. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. He said the Christians are being persecuted. I'll stand with that because that's the truth. See? You know, Donald Trump changed his view on abortion. Said it publicly. Said it in a debate. And the little sorry, trashy Hillary said, I'm for women's health care. What she said publicly was, I'm for murdering children. Okay? You get it, folks? You see, but the people have become so blind. Professing Christians are so blind and so narrow-minded, you know. And John Robertson told me today, he said he's seeing more and more Christians struggling to understand the truth or say, what is the truth? You're hearing it. And see, truth either is going to edify you or going to make you mad. It's going to do one. It's either going to build you up in the Holy Ghost and set you at more liberty and more freedom, or it's going to make you angry because it is hitting something in your own life that you're doing or not doing or whatever the case might be, and it's bothering you. So all you need to know to do is attack the messenger. Well, I tell you who you're attacking. You're not attacking the messenger. You're attacking God. You know, you're attacking the one who gives the message. See? That's who you are attacking, and that's what we see, and that's going to continue to grow exponentially, and that's why it's called persecution. You don't see those who are, for the most part, now, we have those, and I'm critical of the hucksters and the people shaking people down for those things, but for the most part, they don't suffer the same kind of persecution because theirs is a difference. And preaching righteousness and trying to beat somebody out of money. There's a world of difference there. But no, Doug, you're right. You're right. They say that they know God, but in works. See, that's works. And that word comes up all the time throughout the scriptures. And of course, in Revelation 20, he's going to judge them out of the books according to their works. And of course, their names are not going to be found in the book of life. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Titus 1 and 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. When it comes to good works, they're reprobate. When it comes to disobedient and abominable works, they are magnified in these people's lives because they're liars. And by the way, Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. There's a place in hell for liars. I don't do this, not of the, if you're a liar, you have a place at the lake of fire awaiting you. Got your name on the seat, got your number, your zip code and everything, because you lie. You lie. And that's what's killing us. I mean, they call it fake news. It ain't fake news, it's lies. When something is not real, it's not genuine, it's a lie. It's fabricated. It's not what it's supposed to be. That's what, as I said earlier, Satan deceived Eve and making her believe, nope, God is lying to you. He's concealing something. And, you know, remember this program we did a long time ago, Doug and I mentioned, I said, if we all had to do one thing, everybody had to do one thing, what kind of a world would we live in? I said, if everybody had to tell the truth.
Amen.
That's how you know a person. Steve talked about the fruit of the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost won't let you lie. And furthermore, the Holy Ghost will keep you from getting into a place that you think you might have to tell a lie. If you live right, you'll never be in a position of being compromised where you might have to consider telling a lie. See, that's what's key. If I live like I'm supposed to live, I'll not be compromised and be put in a place where I might have to tell a lie. If you're living a goodly life, of course, you'll still be persecuted. Don't get me wrong. But if you're living the kind of life you ought to live, you'll not be put in a position, a posture, a place where you have to even consider, well, should I lie about this? Should I lie about that? No. Now, you start living shady, not right, whatever, that's when you're tempted then by the devil to say, you know what, maybe a lie would work pretty good right here. But it's time to stand up. Psalms 94:16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Again, there's the word workers. They work iniquity because they do this because they work for Satan. Satan's ministers, emissaries, minions, whatever they are, they work for him. And 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Some people are so ignorant of the devil, they have become a device for the devil. And that's why they still tell you, but I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian, you're a liar, you're deceived. And you're a device of the devil. Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander the Coppersmith, Diotrephes, all of these men were in the church in the apostolic day, the apostolic dispensation, but they're all liars, sowing discord, and they identified them. Maybe we ought to identify a few tonight.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I said, and I guess I never realized it was one of those things maybe I shouldn't have said because I'd lived to see it. I said, truth in America is one man lies or a woman lies, another swears to it. Two of the people that have been antagonizing, and I'm not going to name their names, you know, our day's coming when we'll name their names, but they basically, you know, lied. But here's the deal. Both of them out of their own mouth confessed that they were demonized. Both of them confess that they were demonized, and that's just the guys. And one time, you know, I asked for a ex special forces guy to come on because we were going to do a film trip, you know, and I was looking for a certain thing. And one guy who had a guilty conscience went out on the internet and said he had to hang out in Mexico because I was trying to hire someone to go take him out. Couldn't be further from the truth. But there, his guilty conscience took over. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, I have marveled at Doug's disposition. Sometimes I have to call him and he has to simmer me down. Other times we just talk. Now, by simmering down, I want to go, what is it called, full throttle? I mean, I'm redlining it. I want to name names, tell you all what's going on, and just the lies. First of all, I never cold call anyone. If someone wants to call me, and I've been in the precious metals business, I went from being this person's favorite person to being everything. And she basically has buyer's remorse because, you know, everything that she believed evidently wasn't fulfilled. One of the people that bore false witness against me, he's in jail now, awaiting possibly federal charges. And he made a statement that, you know, he's put, you know, big lawsuits together. What he did is tag another lawsuit and was thrown out by the judge. So he lied, but in his lying, the people that listen to these. So here's the thing, you know, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. And someone says, you bragging, you self-righteous person. That's what I get all the time. I said, listen, even Paul said, look, here's who I am. Now, here's who I was, and look what's happening. I can't tell you, even now, I'm getting emails from different parts of the world. These people are hearing something. Am I flawed? Absolutely. Am I? Do I have issues? More than National Geographic. Do I have a relationship with Jesus? Yes, by His salvation. Are we warning people what's coming? Absolutely, yes. Are there probably 100,000 rip-offs out there of ripping off original stuff? And I came to the point of saying, you know, let it go. The people that break the law and then call me a non-Christian when I'm trying to, you know, get enough videos sold to do the next one because look, here's the thing. I won't apologize. I'm 66. I've busted my butt. But the accusations that I have to deal with, and because we are told we cannot say anything at this point, our day's coming, and so is yours. All of you know, we know, you know, we're talking to. And the deal is that what you put in writing, you know, is going to come against you, too, because it's a two-edged sword. And, you know, Doug, I just want to say thank you for putting up with what you put up. And if I said it the way I'd say it, I'd say this. You know, there's no longer stacked hire in transit. That's the SH word. Now it's shad, stacked higher and deeper. So, you know, the thing is that evil is going to abound. Lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. You know what, Pastor Langford? There is no more mystery of iniquity. It is plain to see now. It's playing out. God has stripped the veil of all the hidden evil, and now it's manifesting. And so people can say, well, I didn't know it was evil, Lord, on Judgment Day. They won't be able to cry about it. No, they can correct you because they read or watched a YouTube video. No, but they didn't pay the price on their knees. They didn't pay the price that you have in fasting and seeking God. They didn't pay the price that Doug has paid for all those years. And I'm not even going to say anything. All I can say is this, is that we are who we are because God has redeemed us. None of us have gotten there yet. And the thing, Doug, I want to leave tonight is this. There is no way any human strength is going to be able to stand up against a supernatural onslaught of evil.
Boy,
some
amen.
25 years ago, I said, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Now it's here. You know, I just had an email. The guy means well. He said, genetic Armageddon is here. I said, genetic Armageddon was here 20-some years ago. And Jerry, I'm not picking on you. The thing is when people finally get it, praise God they get it. But if you don't know what you're talking about, and those of us who paid the price, here's the other one. You guys shouldn't spend so much time dealing with your critics. No, we need to spend time because you're going to have your critics too, and we only stand by the grace of God and the intercession of others. How are you going to stand? How are you going to stand? Who's going to be in your court when you've damned everybody condemned, when you slandered everybody can slander, when you have borne false witness against everyone who you can bear false witness against, when you hate and have so much envy and jealousy that you're consumed with it, that it keeps you in another country because you're afraid to step in the United States where there's jurisdiction. You know, the point being is this, is that God is going to arise and God's going to scatter the enemies. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he is going to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to do tonight is provoke you to understand the battle is a supernatural battle. It is beyond your ability to cope, my ability to cope. I do the best I can to try and write it, and I say, Lord, help me to communicate. I mean, sometimes I feel like I cannot communicate, yet someone will send me an email like the other day and said, that show with you are on with Pastor Langford turned my entire life around, and I've given it to Jesus. Look, you know, I'm sent into the highways and byways. I can't relate to modern Christendom. I used to go to church three times a week, multiple times a day, prayer meetings, conferences all over the country. And yet now, you know, every call, David, I get, every email, at least every one of believers is, do you know any good churches in my area? No, I don't. I don't know any good churches. There are there. So for the advice, go on the internet, and unfortunately it's still a useful tool, or fortunately it's still a useful tool, and just look for full gospel churches or churches that believe in deliverance, because the whole world lies in the evil one. And here's my question I'll leave you with, and then David, I'll let you finish out and Doug, you take it. But here's the thing. What part of the statement does not apply to our day and age? The whole world lies in the evil one. It's systems, it's economics, it's relationships, it's medicine, it's science, it's technology. Did Jesus say, well, you know, 90% of this thing is really bad? No, the whole world. It is a fallen world. It is a fallen universe. There are wicked entities. They want your destruction. By the grace of God, if he didn't keep us, none of us would be kept. So again, you ponder that tonight, and as I've said for 25 years, take it to the Lord in prayer, and take it. And I have one girl, I love it. She said, I don't need to. I already know you're a fake. Okay, well, fine. But where will that leave you, dear fake sister, on Judgment Day? Go ahead, David.
You know, Doug, do you want to say something?
I just want to say, Pastor, I apologize if I sounded angry.
I am with you, brother.
You know, what really hurts me is this, and I'm just going to shut up. It hurts me because bodies are piling up. And when I say that, I'm talking about Christians who are being deceived at every turn by people who deliberately lie. And that to me is antithetical to what we're attempting to do. And I just have to really praise you and Steve, for being out there in the trenches. Pastor, I couldn't do what you do every day. And Steve, I know that you and I talk, and I got to tell you, Steve, you're one of a few people I know that gets attacked so much. So I just want to apologize and say, you know what, we're doubling down. At least I'm doubling down to fight against the iniquities that I see out there, and that's our part of our new mandate. And that's all I want to say. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, there's nothing to apologize. Paul,
amen,
in 2 Timothy 4:14, he said, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. There again, that word works. Works do not save you. Works tell us whether you're saved or not. And they're either going to be good works of righteousness or they're going to be works of evil. So you're doing, when I say you, that's rhetorical. You're either doing works of righteousness or works of evil. And this is what Paul said to Timothy, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, a guy, you know, I got an email the other day, and I would say what it was about. It was about prayer. He lambasted me. He said, you're blaming the condition of America because of our lack of prayer. And I will retain that conviction. But then, when I said I've been in the ministry 40-some years and been God called for 50 years, he said, now you're pulling rank. I sure am, because I'm a God called.
Oh, boy. Yeah, pulling rank is kind, David. I have another way of saying it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling, you know why? Because I know I'm called. And if that guy, whatever he does for a living, I'm not so stupid like he is to go into his office or where he works and tell him about his job, because I don't know what he does. But yet he can contend and strife with me. Words of contention. Now explain to me 1 Thessalonians 5:17 where Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So we're seeing just a little bit of righteousness trying to prevail through this presidential election, because a lot of people were fasting and praying. Yes, I do believe what we did 3 years ago affected the outcome of that, because I don't believe my prayers and my work and labor of love is in vain. God is not going to be a debtor to no man who prays and fasts and calls upon him. He will move. And Paul told Timothy, you beware of Alexander the coppersmith, because he has withstood our words. You preach the same words, he's going to withstand your words, the word of God. And of course, Paul went on to say, at my first answer, he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Here's what I love, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And that's what it's all about, preaching the gospel that all might hear. And so, you know, I'm not an idiot to think I can armchair quarterback anybody that's an attorney. Joe, Doug, what you guys do and have done. But everybody that thinks they're a Christian or know something about the Bible can challenge me in anything I say about the Scriptures. In other words, I'm up for correction. I know what the Bible says. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God, Ephesians chapter 5. I understand all this stuff. But when you don't understand the Scriptures, then that shows your ignorance is coming out with what you say, with what you do. See, Daniel, had he quit praying, he would have never been after, because the angel said, from day one your prayer was heard, but the demon of Persia, the prince of Persia, withstood your words. He fought us. But see, Daniel didn't quit. And because he didn't quit, the angel came and gave him the revelation, gave him the vision, gave him the understanding of the vision. Had he quit, the battle would have been lost, because now that he had quit, the angel would quit fighting and go back to God, and the devil would have won that battle. See, a lot of battles are won and lost because we give up. You know? That's why Paul said, notwithstanding, all this he just told Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith withstood me. He God rewarded him according to his works. He said, and you beware of him. And then he finishes that paragraph per se there, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In spite of all of this bad stuff, brethren, the Lord still stands with us and helps us. And no, Doug, you're not out of line. You have a right. My grandpa always told me, he said, if a man didn't have a temper, he's no good. A temper can be turned into something evil, or it can be turned into something good, to be a motivation, to be an impetus, to correct error, to correct wrongs. Or it can be destructive and do damage. Ephesians 4:26-27, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry, sin not. Sometimes we need to get angry. I get so tired of this just turn the other cheek stuff. You know, you got to understand who that's really talking to and about. But Jesus, the Bible says, he looked on them with anger because he could discern their hearts and knew their hypocrisy and their lying and conniving and cheating. Can you imagine walking into every room you walked into and you recognize, or you could read everybody's heart? Yeah, I see that woman over there. She's lusting after that man. I see that man looking at her. That's the way Nehemiah talked. He said they're like a bunch of horses kneeing, you know, after every man's wife. He could see everything and yet keep his composure and be on point that was off the charts, and know and ask them a question concerning their thoughts. He was discerning their hearts because he knew how evil, how vile, and how corrupt they are. And it is time to stand up. It is time to put on the whole armor of God and do battle. And you don't have to lay by the wayside and be a pacifist, you know. A lot of good Christian men died in a lot of different ways because they stood for what was right. And John the Baptist, because he preached against adultery, he was beheaded. Don't think telling the truth won't get you in jail or in prison, because he told Philip or Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother-in-law's wife, Philip. It's not lawful. Well, that's what he got beheaded for, because he told Herod the truth. Got his head cut off.
Truth has its consequences, indeed. Pastor Langford, thank you so much. Steve Quayle, thank you. And I just want to end it on a very positive note. Jenny from New Zealand just has written in saying, be sure to pass along my thanks. Sitting with my husband here in New Zealand, thank you so much. It's a long email, but thank you so much, Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle, from Jenny and family in New Zealand.
Praise God. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you later on.
Thanks, Steve. All right. Thanks, Pastor Langford. That'll do it for us tonight. Until next week, stay safe, God bless, and have a great Memorial Day weekend.